illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I'm going to have to ask the we're going to have to go ahead and hang up here. This is Dr. Stan here, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. And we're going to play a little music and be right back here in just a moment. Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Catherine Austin Fitz. Catherine, thank you so very much for being with us.
Oh, hi, Dr. Stan. Such an opportunity to be back after all these years.
Well, it's so good to have you. And of course, everything's gone wrong electronically today. I can't believe it. It never happened before. I don't know if that's because you're here or maybe it's just coincidence. But anyway, it's so good to have you with us.
One of my favorite quotes in Scripture is, "Where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I."
Yes.
So I would say the right guy showed up today.
All right, fine. Well, I appreciate that so much. And, of course, I got that beautiful treatise you sent me, going into the background of your experience there as an international investment banker, and then then your experience working for the government. And what are you doing today now?
Well, I'm an investment banker, and I've started a new company called Solari, and we have two products, and we're in the process of launching the first. It's called Solari Investor Circles, which are investment clubs that really focus on withdrawing people's money from big corporations and big governments and reinvesting it in things that really do create a beautiful world. So I call it Solari Portfolio Strategy. It's the specific investment strategy. But what we find is if you drive around or walk around your community and you talk to, you know, your mom or your uncle and your church and your school, and everybody's got their, you know, their savings, their retirement savings and their money deposited in or invested in all the people who are destroying our government and destroying our country. So, you know, so our speech, I always tell people, never ask if there's a conspiracy if you're not in one. You need to start one. So it's kind of an investment club that's a conspiracy to help make sure that our money is really working for us and not against us.
Well, now, what do you think as far as the problems with the soundness of the American currency? And certainly many, many people today are suggesting that people ought to think about gold and silver. Is there a justification for that, or do you think that the dollar...
Well, I agree. I think we have a fiat currency that's very debased and is going to get more so. It's certainly declining in value. It's a miracle they've been able to hold it up as long as they have. And I have... we produce audio seminars as support to the curriculum for the circles, and I've done one on precious metals. I'm a member of the Gold Antitrust Action Committee. I think you've had Bill Murphy.
No, I really haven't, but we're going to talk about this in just a moment. We're going to bring in a separate audience right now, so we'll reintroduce you here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Catherine Austin Fitz, and Catherine was an investment banker with a very prestigious New York firm for many years, and then of course she went on to the Department of Health and Human Services. What was that department you were with?
It was the Department of Housing. I was the Assistant Secretary of Housing, Federal Housing Commissioner under Bush 1.
And then, of course, you found there was an awful lot of corruption there, didn't you?
Yeah, I was really brought in to do cleanup. And And unfortunately, I was too good at it. So I had to go.
In other words, you found that there was just so much corruption, and they really didn't want to find it.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. I used to, the Secretary of HUD at the time was Jack Kemp, and he used to call me into his office, and he'd say, I want you to go stop, you know, this corrupt practice. And then right after that, he would call up my deputy, and he'd say, I just told Fitz to go stop that, make sure she fails. And that was because, you know, he needed, you know, to look like he was obeying the law, but he, you know, so he'd ask one person to go clean it up and then another to make sure it failed because for political reasons he needed to do the opposite.
Well, now, we were talking about billions of dollars disappearing, were we?
Trillions.
Trillions of dollars disappearing?
During the first Bush administration, and I was very instrumental in getting this started, we got laws passed requiring audited financial statements and actuarial studies for all government agencies, and so a process began in 1995 whereby the agencies would explain why they hadn't complied with the law. And so to this day, the U.S. government has failed to comply with the laws requiring audited financial statements. And in fiscal 1998, huge amounts of money started to go missing. That spring, I had met with a group of pension fund leaders who were on a board that I had. And I had explained the Solari model, which is kind of our vision on how we turn the country around and turn our economy around. And one of them said to me, you don't understand, it's too late. They've given up on the country. They're moving all the money out in the fall. And so what happened was literally over a four-year period that we know of, $4 trillion is missing from the federal government. And essentially huge amounts of money were moved out both for there's $4 trillion of undocumentable adjustments at several agencies that we know of, and that's all we, you know, only that which we found as a group of volunteer citizens. But also you saw the pump and dump of the stock market. So essentially tremendous capital was moved out of this country, and at the same time, the economy was floated on just a sea of debt, and we've gone from a position of not being net indebted to the world to $4 trillion being missing from our government.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be right
sure.
back. Well, this is Dr. Stan Beck here. Our guest is Catherine Austin Phipps, who was an assistant secretary of housing, and she found that trillions of dollars were being funneled out of this country, and she's talking about the late 1970s. Of course, that's when we had this massive inflation. We had an inflation rate of 19%. We had to raise the interest rates to 21% to 22% to keep from losing the dollar, but all of this money then just disappeared from the country, huh?
What the pension fund leader said is they're moving it all to Asia for reinvestment.
And so that's, of course, the so-called Chinese miracle is really all built upon American money that they took away from us to build up China so they could take our jobs and shift our manufacturing from the United States to Asia.
Well, I'm assuming that that's what happened. I can only guess.
But it certainly is a miraculous thing. I mean, you can see those pictures of Shanghai or Beijing, and, you know, as far as you can see, are skyscrapers. That costs a lot of money.
Right. One of the things I will say, because in 1997 I was in China in both Shanghai and Beijing, and in Shanghai and Beijing you're talking about fantastically more productive workforces. I mean, the American workforce has steadily decreased in productivity, and those workforces are steadily increasing. Now, part of it is the investment issue. Another issue is how productive the government investment is. But then the other is really how used to comfort are the populations. And over there, you've got a much harder working population than you do here.
Well, what about Greenspan's been talking about how our productivity is going up year after year after year, and that explains, you know, why our economy is doing so good. Is that true, or is that simply frosting on the cake?
It's a bunch of yeah. What our statistics show, when you reconfigure the Bureau of Economic Analysis statistics, what we see is the average American household has a $5,000 a year cash deficit, so their revenues are short, you know, don't cover their expenses, and the way they're funding that is by selling assets or by taking on more debt, and the housing bubble has protected some families in that process. And then when you look at that number, what you see is corporate wealth is going up by an equivalent amount, and if you dig deeper, what you find is that That's also approximately the amount of money that the American household is paying in federal taxes that go to agencies that don't produce audited financial statements. And essentially what's happening is through the governmental taxing and financing and regulatory mechanisms, we're draining equity out of communities and households and stripping the government and central banks of assets and moving them into corporate hands in a way that's a tremendous windfall subsidy to corporations. I mean, corporations have really proven to be not economically efficient, and they have required huge amounts of subsidy. And we're literally engineering government money to produce subsidy both for corporations, but other, you know, other not-for-profit and other organizations and individuals. So we really have an economy in the U.S. that's on the dole, whether it's big corporations or little people, and that's making us less and less productive. And as we get less and less productive, we suck more and more capital out, send it abroad. It's kind of a downward spiral, and it's been slow motion so far. Now it's really eaten into a lot of middle class, and you know, so the poor and the middle class have really been hurting. The upper middle class and the upper class have been doing quite well.
Well, what do you think about the economy? We're really being told, oh, the economy is doing great. We've created 2 million new jobs this last year. You know, certainly the corporate earnings are up. You know, the economy is doing very well. The GDP is increasing. Is this really true?
No, absolutely not. I, about 5 years ago, I started a process of living in a number of places and driving. I've put about 300,000 or 400,000 miles on a couple cars, just traveling the country and estimating what's happening in the economy. And essentially what we've been doing is stripping communities, stripping governments, stripping households, and centralizing all economic wealth and doing it in a way that destroys wealth. So think of it this way. We're subsidizing corporate assets and financial assets by basically stripping all living things, whether it's people or the environment. We're basically destroying the planet in a process that creates, you know, sort of a mirage of financial capital gains.
But, of course, what is going to happen then to the income of the average American? How long can this continue if they're actually going behind every year?
Well, right now, let me bring the story more to ground. In the summer of 2000, I was giving a speech to a wonderful group of people called Spiritual Frontiers Foundation International. And I was talking about the fact that at the time a Department of Justice spokesperson had told a reporter that I work with that the American financial system was laundering $500 billion to $1 trillion a year of all dirty money. So that's narcotics trafficking, that's financial fraud and insider trading, that's tax evasion, that's slave trafficking, you know, it's everything. So I said to this wonderful group of people, it was about 100 people, who had come to a conference to talk about how they could help our society spiritually. So I said to them, what would happen if we stopped being the worldwide leader in money laundering? So we had a little conversation, and they said, well, the stock market would go down because the money wouldn't come into our stock market and go to other countries' stock markets. And we'd have trouble rolling over the government deficit because all of our government checks depend on borrowing money. And so our taxes might go up and our government checks might stop. So I said, okay, let's pretend there's a big red button up here on the lectern, and if you push that button, you can stop all dirty money laundering. Well, you can stop all hard narcotics trafficking in your neighborhood, your county, your town tomorrow. And out of 100 people, Dr. Sand, guess how many would push the button?
How many?
One. So I said to the other 99, why would you not push the button? And they said, we don't want our mutual funds to go down in value. We don't want our government checks to stop, and we don't want our taxes to go up.
But, of course, men and women become accomplices of the evils they fail to oppose, and they don't realize that if we don't do what's right, eventually we're going to have to pay a terrible, terrible price for that.
I think we're paying a terrible price now, but the price can get worse. So I think the question is, America is extracting a subsidy from the environment, from other populations, from our own, you know, we are extracting a subsidy. We're on an unsustainable trajectory, and every day we stay on it. So what I call, if you go to the Solari website, we have a concept called coming clean. And the one thing a person can do is come clean in our own life and start to change your own life, you know, stop investing. Stop putting your bank deposits in banks that are leaders in this. Stop putting your investments in securities of large corporations and large governments that are doing this. You know, stop admiring and supporting the people who are leading this kind of behavior and change your own. You know, push the red button in your own life. And the Solari model is designed to, it's what I call turn the red button green. How can we make money pushing the red button? Because that's what we need to do. We need a practical, an economically practical way to clean the dirty money out of our lives.
Well, I think the average American finds it very difficult to believe that our government could be laundering drug money, or at least allowing it to go on, because they make such a big issue of being so righteous. But
I that's not what I find. I mean, I find people everywhere are very disgusted with the government, very disgusted with large corporations, but they want to know, what can I do that's effective? What can I do that's not going to put my children at risk? You know, because they know how dangerous it is. One of the things I just did was I published a story, and you can link to it from my website at solari.com, www.solari.com. It's called Dylan Reed and the Aristocracy of Prison Profits, and it's the story of a prison investment, a private prison investment by my old firm on Wall Street, Dylan Reed, and the support that they got during the Clinton administration from Al Gore and his office, it appears, to sort of do this private prison company. And it includes a description of the $4 trillion that went missing from the government during this period, as well as all the physical harassment and surveillance that I endured. And you know, it's kind of a story that helps people say, why isn't anybody doing things? Well, people are doing stuff, but it's very dangerous. And it's very scary to do the kinds of things I do. And it takes, you know, tremendous discipline, tremendous good luck, and really it takes not having kids. Because it's too dangerous to put your kids at risk. So we're living in dangerous times, and I think people know that. I got a call. You'd laugh. I got a call from a friend of mine who was an old college roommate, and she only reads People magazine. She does not know. She does not want to know about government corruption, or, you know. So if it's not in People magazine, she doesn't know about it. Anyway, she called me up the other day. I was driving from Tennessee up to New England, and she said, "Fitz, did you know 9/11 was an inside job?" And I said, "Oh my God, was it in People magazine?" But I think, you know, that is just a little example of how many people really know something's terribly wrong.
Okay, well, you know, it really is fascinating, and it is amazing how many people really don't understand what's going on. But of course, that's why I do what I do, and I'm sure that's why you do what you do, trying to get people to have some grasp of what's going on today. And I think we have to get people out of their cocoons. Of course, I always like to say, you can't sell life insurance until you can convince people they're going to die, and you can't get people involved in this battle. You know.
No, but I think, here's my take. I think people are being drained economically and spiritually, and so we all need to do what we can do that gives us energy. That's what I mean about turning the red button green. I don't think, because I kind of call the bad guys the tapeworm. I don't think it pays to fight the tapeworm frontally, but I think it does to withdraw energy from the tapeworm in a way that gives you energy.
Okay, fine. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Catherine Austin Phipps, and we'll get her idea of how we're going to fight the tapeworm that is eroding the very essence of the nutrition of our bodies. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Catherine Austin Phipps, and we're talking about what's really going on in our society today, and certainly we find very, very powerful forces that are aligned against freedom, and Catherine is, of course, trying to oppose them, but not directly. So you pick up the story, how are we going to oppose them, but not directly? Certainly they control most major investments, don't they?
Well, I would say that there's a surprisingly broad amount of money in investments today. And most of the people I know who are angry about all the corruption are, in fact, financing the very, you know, corruption they say they don't like. And, you know, so we're kind of in a state of multiple personality disorder. On one hand, I say I don't like the fact that $4 trillion is missing from the federal government. On the other hand, I'm proceeding to bank and borrow money and do business that supports the banks who are responsible for $4 trillion. I mean, the New York Fed is the depository for the U.S. government. So if $4 trillion is missing, it left on the train tracks of the New York Fed and its member banks. So, for example, if I'm banking at Citibank or J.P. Morgan Chase, if I have my mortgage from J.P. Morgan Chase and Citibank, if I have a securities account at Goldman Sachs, my message to these guys is you can steal $4 trillion of my money, and I'll still give you my business. So I think what we need to do, we need to integrate our citizen hat with our depositor hat, with our purchaser hat, with our investment hat, and look at what's in our 401ks and IRAs, and really, you know, stop promoting and incentivizing the very behavior that we say we hate.
Well, of course, the thing is that there are a lot more of us than there are of them. They may be a lot richer than we are, but they still need us. After all, we are the workers in their society. We're the little slaves who go along and create the goods that they utilize to perpetuate their control. So what actually then are you advocating, and how would people go about it?
Well, my suggestion is that the first thing, because everybody knows what you do if you have a tapeworm, you flush it out, right?
Right.
One of the reasons I use the tapeworm analogy, Dr. Stan, is that the way a tapeworm works in your body is it injects into your system something that makes you crave what's good for the tapeworm as opposed to what's good for yourself. And it's important to see that sort of codependency happening. So what we suggest is first get out of, you know, stop banking at one of the big banks that is complicit in this. If you can, get into a good local bank that is circulating much more of your deposits and investments locally. Okay, so and we have an audio seminar called Where Would Jesus Bank that kind of helps you do that if you need help doing that. So one is, you know, pull your deposits out of the bad guys. The second is, you know, go through your investments. What is your 401k investing in? What is your IRA investing in? What are your retirement savings invested in? Make sure you're not, you know, guilty in your own investment account of the same war profiteering and organized crime profiteering you say you hate. And we have an audio seminar called Solari Portfolio Strategy to kind of help you do that. So then we also have one called Precious Metals. It's a precious metals mini-series to help you understand sort of the problems with fiat currency and how you can use precious metals as insurance to protect from a falling dollar. I've got another audio seminar.
Hold that thought there for just a moment. We'll bring our stations back on board. All right, Dr. Stan here, and our guest is Catherine Austin Phipps, and she's basically telling us really how we should be investing, and certainly one of the things she talks about is precious metals. So you pick up the story there.
Right. So we have an audio seminar, the Precious Metals mini-series, where we go through how to use precious metals as insurance against a falling dollar, you know, and some of the other real problems or economic problems. And we've got an audio seminar, Navigate the Falling Dollar, one called Navigate the Housing Bubble, to help you deal with your home base. So step number one is to come clean with your money and stop using your money, whether it's your purchases, your deposits, your investments, all aspects of your transactions. Stop using your money to support the people who are doing the very things you say you hate. And don't profiteer from it. You know, if you don't like something, don't say you don't like it and then proceed to make money on it in your own investment or financial accounts. And that's all part of what we call coming clean. And so the second thing is to turn and use your money to kind of create the world that you do want, but do it in a way that gives you energy. In other words, we're looking to improve your financial security by doing this. Let me give you a perfect example. I realized that about a year ago, that I was sitting in Bible class, and I realized, you know, I had one woman who was making 3% on a CD at a local bank, another woman who was making 5% in her IRA investing in Citibank, and another one who was paying 23% on a credit card. Well, that's ridiculous because, you know, Citibank was basically, you know, you had the big banks making all the money, and if we had just been willing to finance each other, we could have all made more money or paid less money if we just cut the banking system out of it. So there's tremendous opportunity where people are willing to get together, and that's why we've got this product called Solaria Investor Circles. Get together with your friends and start learning about how your money works. Start learning about how the money in your neighborhood works. There's tremendous opportunities to re-engineer how the government money works. For example, a couple years ago, the town council in the town I live in Tennessee realized that it was crazy to renew our contact with a big corporation to pick up our garbage. Instead, we asked a local couple to just create a part-time job and you know, stop hiring this big corporation to come in from outside the neighborhood and created a job, a part-time job for a local couple. And everybody's, you know, we get a much better service and everybody's much happier. But I've seen that again and again, Dr. Stan, where, you know, in a neighborhood you're paying many, many times what you need to by paying a government contractor to do something that somebody in that neighborhood would love to do for, you know, reasonable cost per hour plus health care.
Well, of course, what you're suggesting is that sort of a almost like this, the whole idea of the these credit, not necessarily banks, what do they call the credit unions, where
credit
people,
unions?
You know, lend to the credit union, the credit union lends to other people within the group.
Right. Right. And in every neighborhood is different. And that's why we encourage people to get together in circles and start to learn how the money works in their neighborhood. You'll go to some places and the best local banking institution is a community bank. You'll go to another place and it's a credit union. I mean, every place is different and every group of people is different. And it's important to really sit down and say, look, how am I currently being drained and how can I start to change how I, you know, interact with money, my transactions, or how can I learn more about how the money works in my neighborhood in a way to start to improve the quality of my life. And that may be, you know, what saves you time. It may be simply doing a series of things that get the state and municipality to provide more services to your friend's child who's autistic. Or, you know, it's very granular things. It may be figuring out how you can start a correspondent library in your town because it's 10 miles from the nearest library, and on and on and on. So it could be something that saves you time. It could be something that saves you expenses. It's a pretty wide gamut. But the important thing is I'm being drained now, and I need to reverse that. And I need to reverse that by really getting much savvier about how the money works around me and collaborating with other people to turn that to my benefit.
Well, of course, you were commenting about this one woman who's getting 3% on the CD and another person's getting 5% from Chase Manhattan or some other bank. But, of course, the big problem is the rate of inflation. First of all, you get 3% or 5%, you got to pay income tax on that. They tell us that the inflation rate's 2 or 3%. I don't believe that at all. And, so the question is,
anybody who tracks the price of a box of Puff Kleenex knows the rate of inflation is much higher.
And of course, the old adage, you're going to believe what the government tells you, you're going to believe your lying eyes. We're going to be back in just a moment or two with Catherine Austin Tips, who's been an investment banker with Dylan Reed, one of the largest and most prestigious organizations on Wall Street. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan Beck here, and of course we have Catherine Wizard. We're talking basically about people actually investing and investing in ways of helping one another, rather than, of course, continuing to finance the very people who are moving to destroy the very essence of our society. So we'll pick up the story there as far as, you know, what are we going to do to stay ahead simply of inflation so we're not going behind every month, every year?
Well, that's going to be a problem because what has now happened is We have both individually, our households and our government, borrowed a significant amount of money. And we've run out, as the $4 trillion and other money has been stolen, you know, it's been replaced with huge amounts of debt. And so the government has run up a huge amount of debt, and we have continued to live in a way that's not sustainable. And so the problem you're going to have now is, you know, the governmental mechanism is now in a position to turn to people and say, okay, you need to, you know, we need to now pay off the debt. Or the only way to, you know, the only other way to handle it strategically is to inflate. And, you know, politically what's going to be more popular is to inflate.
But, of course, with that is the destruction of the value of the savings, the life savings of every American citizen.
Well, the people who, you know, who have positioned themselves for inflation will, in fact, do better.
Oh, of course,
the people who have not will not.
But of course, the average person really doesn't understand. They really cannot believe what you're saying. The inflation could wipe out everything that they've worked their whole lives for, and yet this has happened time and again down throughout history.
Well, I think though I don't see the situation as being as simple as a bunch of bad people running the society and then a bunch of innocent people who don't know what's going on. I mean, we've been in a bubble economy, and most Americans have taken advantage of that and enjoyed that economy, even though they knew, you know, the deficit was running up and it was not sustainable. So I think we're all complicit in this, or many of us are complicit.
No, I wouldn't disagree with that at all. But the thing is that we're all trapped in a sinking life raft, and you know, we've got to think about, is there any way out of this?
You know, I think it's very simple. If you're on the Titanic, get off and start building an ark.
Oh, right. Well, I mean, we have two problems. One is the loss in the value of the dollar by inflation. The other is the falling value of the dollar. We'll be back in just a moment with Catherine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course we were simply talking about how the dollar is losing its value, partly by inflation, and partly because its relationship to other currencies throughout the world. And the dollar, you know, within the last few months has begun sliding and losing value in relationship to other currencies. So we're not only losing value internally, in other words, we don't have a stable dollar within our own society because of inflation, but we're losing value internationally as well. So it's sort of like a double whammy, isn't it?
Well, I would say it another way. We've moved a lot of our manufacturing capability abroad. So we've moved a lot of our production inventory or infrastructure abroad. At the same time, we have not, we've allowed our infrastructure, our physical infrastructure, to deteriorate. And at the same time, the population has been on a consumer spending spree that has certainly spent a lot of money, but it's not made us more productive as people or as a workforce. So basically, whether it's infrastructure or tools, we've drained them or moved them abroad at the same time that we've, you know, enjoyed a consumer bubble spending that's been financed with debt. Now, the whole world and the environment has paid for that. In other words, we've had a big party, and a lot of people have suffered to finance our party. And so, you know, it's almost as though we've been on a drunk, and now the punch bowl is being moved out of our hands. So I think, you know, I think sometimes the way you get mastery over a situation is you start to face, you know, look in the mirror and face your own culpability in it.
Well, admittedly, we've got the real problem, and admittedly, we need to build an ark. So where do we start getting the material to build that ark with?
Well, I think the first thing is to start learning about, you know, the first thing you need, the first thing I like to get is a good map. And I would really encourage folks to use our website, www.solari.com. And it links to this new article that's sort of a case study in how the tapeworm operates. It's this article called Dylan Reed and the Aristocracy of Prison Profits. We have a wealth of articles and other free information, and then we've packaged the information in audio seminars. We have a lot of people in our network, Dr. Stan, who love to, you know, to listen to CDs in the cars or, you know, download onto their iPods. So we've done a series of about 20 audio seminars that really explain whether it's moving your bank or are looking into using precious metals or insurance or salary portfolio strategy that really helps people or navigate the falling dollar, navigate the housing bubble. We try to provide audio seminars that will really teach people, including people who don't know a lot about these subjects, kind of understand what's going on and what they can do with it, and then sign up for our email list. We constantly have announcements about speeches or radio shows or other things we're doing. We put out a news of the week. So whether it's the announcements, the weekly news, the audio seminars, or a wealth of articles, there's tons of stuff about how you come clean. You know, what's sort of going on? We call it the real deal. What's a good map of the real deal? How do you come clean from it? How do you get the tape ripped out of your life? And how do you start to build your arc?
All right, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you have a question for Catherine, again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, certainly, you know, at the present time, so many of the major corporations are part of the problem. And whether it would be a big oil, which I feel is certainly probably one of the best investments in the world, but I think they're part of the problem. Or whether it be the some of the banking of Wells Fargo, Chase Manhattan City Bank, and the others, you know, their stock is doing great, but they're also part of the problem, as you pointed out. So where are people going to go? You mentioned you have the Solari portfolio. Do you make financial advisements to people?
Well, what we suggest is what we call financial intimacy, financing products and services you know and trust. People you know and trust, or products and services and people that the people you trust. So you start with your home, and the first thing you do is really try and build more self-sufficiency in your home. Dr. Stan, I sold a mansion in Washington about 5 years ago and moved to Tennessee, and I have 2 acres and I have my own well. You know, I'm working on getting my own energy sources, but I have, you know, so I have a much smaller house, but I have a much more self-sufficient home, and I'm next to family and people who I really love and trust. So step one is create much more self-sufficiency, get out of debt. And this is in an inflationary environment, sometimes you can make a lot of money with debt, but you have to be careful. It's certainly not a time to have high interest rate risk, but now it's the time to build equity and kind of get out of debt. So that's another. We talk about precious metals for insurance and liquidity in the worst case. That's something else you can do. There are a number of areas of investment that we talk about in Solari portfolio strategy, but I think one of them is going to be companies and operations that create real solutions like renewable energy. There's a lot of investment in other places and outside the country and in sort of countries that do have a stronger faith in the rule of law than the United States, which we think are going to be good investments, who have stronger currency. So sort of essential purpose operations in places that still have the rule of law, and on and on. So there are many opportunities to sort of protect yourself in this environment. But I think the first thing you need to say is, you know, I'm in a country and in an economy which is in a long-term decline, and I need to protect myself from that.
All right, fine. So did you think that the outlook already here in America, since we've sort of turned our back on righteousness, I mean, a lot of Americans like to think they're righteous, but you only have to see what we're really doing throughout the world to other countries, as we've really taken advantage of them and used our financial and military might in many places to simply impoverish people in third world countries.
I think it's really important to understand that there is... you know, there is no such thing as a sovereign U.S. government, and there hasn't been for a long time. You know, if you're the president of the United States, Dr. Stan, what everybody in America wants is their check. And the only way you can get their check is by borrowing more money, and the only way you can borrow more money is by getting it from the people who have it, whether it's the Fed who prints it or you borrow from the creditors. But essentially, you're talking about a situation where there's no financial sovereignty, and increasingly the information systems and accounting systems, and certainly the banking systems, are run by the big private corporations that are making money by sort of feeding at the trough. So you don't have a sovereign government, and the people who are really running it and controlling it are global. In other words, it's not, it's a governmental mechanism, and it's serving a global group of leadership for global purposes.
In other words, you're suggesting that there is a supranational force that is really controlling our government and many other governments and controlling the finances of this this country?
Right, and one of the reasons it's been allowed is that the American people have, when presented with a choice of doing the financially responsible thing versus going along with, you know, playing, you know, follow the tapeworm, because it was more convenient, more comfortable, we've generally gone along with the tapeworm. And I think part of it is because we can't fathom the sort of centralization and control, that is being implemented. So I think we found it generally pretty comfortable to play follow the tapeworm, and as a result, the tapeworm's gotten more and more powerful. And frankly, to be perfectly honest, the tapeworm is dangerous. I mean, a lot of people have lost their lives or lost their financial security trying to do the right thing. We're talking about a very, sort of the group that I call the New World Order is a very dangerous black group.
Oh, I certainly agree with you. We talk about them all the time as much as we can and try to get people to understand that nothing is it appears to be. And there really are people who work behind the scenes who do have an entirely different agenda, but behind them are powerful spiritual forces, and I think if we ignore those, we can't understand why these people, from generation to generation, would continue doing the same things, which in many respects are counterproductive, you know, for the welfare of mankind, and yet they continue doing it and taking us from war to war and from conflict to conflict and from crisis to crisis.
Well, I mean, I think the human race has shown itself remarkably easy to be manipulated. And as long as we're manipulated, or as long as we profiteer from it, then spiritually we're responsible. So, you know, I think the reason I think coming clean is so important is if I want the divine to be for me, if I want the divine anointing on my life, then I've got to ask forgiveness for my culpability and what's going on.
Well, I think we're all involved in the system. It's pretty hard to, to get out of the system.
No,
but I agree with you that we should do everything we can possibly to get out of the system and then to try to let other people understand what this is about. And, of course, the big money will be made following along with the big oil and big banking and all of these things. But is that really,
well, not really
important?
The what I've seen in the last year is the most success I have. We have a Solari circle that I'm part of, and what we've seen is the largest gains in the investment world have been in by investing in solid credits in Europe and Asia outside of the United States, so what I call high popsicle index places. In sort of solution-oriented companies.
You're talking about places like India or what?
New Zealand, Australia, India. And I'm talking now more about the quality of the people and the products and services, so, you know, not willy-nilly just this place or that. But the Pacific Rim and Europe. So in good bread-and-butter, you know, essential service companies there.
Are you trying to do something like Warren Buffett did back in 65 then? Except, of course, he was primarily invested in America.
Well, I don't track Buffett closely, so...
Right.
But essentially, let me go through the three areas. So companies that are really about long-term solutions like solar energy, organic foods. Anyway, so one is sort of solution-oriented, transformation solution companies, we'll call them, this sort of essential service outside the U.S., and then precious metals. And so we've seen great performance without having to go profiteer with Halliburton or Exxon.
Well, certainly some of the precious metal companies have done very, very well. And I'm sure you have your finger on what these others are doing. And so people actually then would actually align themselves with your organization. And what are they doing?
No, there's no alignment with us. The Solarian Venture Circles will be an idea. Anybody can do them. They don't need any connection to us to do them.
But how would people even know what these companies were?
We're providing audio seminars and basically educational products to help them do it.
Okay, fine. So you're actually teaching people how to do this on their own.
But each will do it independently. I think if we're really going to transform things in a powerful way, we need to be highly decentralized. Well, the problem with the economy is that it's too centralized, and we need to decentralize it in a way that increases wealth for us.
Oh, certainly that sounds like a great and wonderful idea. And, of course, the big problem is most people do not have your background in international finance. Have you ever regretted leaving Dillon Reed?
No, I left Dillon Reed to join the Bush administration, and I felt I felt that it was time to go. So I have no regrets. I love being an investment banker, and that's why I'm starting Solari, because that's my love.
Well, Chris, what are you getting a pretty good response? You're probably picking up people by doing talk radio programs. How is it?
We're doing talk radio programs. We're doing speeches, of course. For many years, a lot of my time was invested in doing litigation with the federal government, in the process of shutting my last company down, and I described that in this article, Dillon Reed and the Aristocracy of Prison Profits, and I really recommend that. You want to understand it, we developed it, Dr. Stan, as a, if you go to business school, you have something called a case study, and we developed it really as a case study that could be used in a business school or in a college course to really help people understand how the tapeworm operates and how the economy operates, because we're in a terribly political economy, as you know. But people really don't seem to understand how it works. They know it's there, because if you look at how popular the movie The Matrix is, I mean, they know there's a matrix. They just can't figure out how the matrix is financed and how the money works inside the matrix. And so we wrote this to really create a business school quality case study to help the average guy understand how the tapeworm really works.
Well, of course, I think that people do not understand the fiat money system. They don't understand that everything is almost a mirage.
Well, they can if they want. I mean, there's no time like the present. They're wonderful. There's a wonderful DVD called The Money Masters.
Yes, uh-huh.
And they're now wonderful documentaries. There's a wealth of great stuff. So I think to the extent, and that's, I really encourage people to get together and do a circle, because it's if you're doing it by yourself, it's nowhere near as energizing as if you come together as a group and you just start learning. I have one wonderful friend who has a, she gets a DVD, and once a month that she's got a little center for her community, she'll play a DVD, and so rather than go to the movie theater, just have a documentary every fourth Sunday. My aunt has a group like that too. You have a documentary, you have popcorn, and then you discuss.
Okay. Well, of course, this is what we do 5 hours a day on talk radio on about four different networks. So we do have a wonderful opportunity to talk to people, to try to get them to understand. And we talk about a lot of the things that you're talking about the origin of money, this whole idea of a fiat money system, and how it always is going to end up. And now people have to learn to protect themselves, especially at this time as the thing is beginning to unravel. How long it'll take, I have no idea. But we can certainly see there's dollars having problems. Certainly the government is doing everything they can to keep it from falling apart by increasing the amount of money in circulation. Every time they increase the amount of money, they decrease the value of our savings.
Right. Well, We're in a long-term trajectory where our revenues are going to keep falling and our expenses are going to keep going up.
Well, you'll be in a good place there, and at least in Tennessee, where you can survive. Hang on, we'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Catherine Austin Phipps. We've got about 3 minutes to wind this up. And, of course, the website would be www.solari.com. And there you're going to find, well, what would you find if you go to solari.com?
Well, we have a section called Learning with lots of articles that talk about, you know, what we call the real deal, or sort of a map of how the world really works. And then just a wealth of resources. We've got a great article called Coming Clean, How You Start Coming Clean. And then, of course, we've got the audio seminars on all these topics. And if you want to be kept up to date on speeches, radio shows, and announcements, just give us your email address. So it's all there. And there's a search engine so you can search and find. But our goal, Dr. Stan, is how do you help people build arcs? You know, because the Titanic's sinking. And we're just going to have to, you know, get in the business of building arcs and moving on.
And, of course, you're not going to build one great big arc. With everybody on it and all the animals, you're going to have a lot of little arcs then.
Right, thousands of little arcs, and we should all be trading and investing in each other as opposed to investing in the Titanic.
Okay, fine. Well, we know what's going to happen to the Titanic. We've had a wonderful ride. I mean, what has happened during my lifetime and the prosperity we've enjoyed? But unfortunately, so much of it's been purchased with the suffering of people throughout the world. And you read
Joe Stiglitz. It's got to stop.
Dr. Joe Stiglitz, who is a Nobel Prize winner and in economics and Council of Economic Advisors chairman, he wrote a wonderful book. When he was the vice chairman of the World Bank, and he said, you know, every place the IMF goes, to invest to help the people, they get poorer. And the poverty rate rises. And then, of course, when he left the World Bank, he said the same thing about them. So all of our policies are just really impoverishing people throughout the world.
We've been stripping the world.
And people don't like to think about that. But, well, once you've been told, and frankly, we have a wonderful 4-tape set on interviews with John Perkins. You know John Perkins?
I've read his book.
What did you think of it?
I thought it was a limited, modified hangout.
All right, we'll have to get you back to you to explain what that means. Do you think that a lot of it was true?
Well, I think there is such a thing as an economic hit process. And I think the story he told us, what he did in the 70s, is probably true.
All right, fine. Well, we're out of time. It's a fascinating story. Certain things of his conclusions I disagree with myself. God bless you, Catherine. Catherine, thank you so much for being
with us. Thanks so much for having me on.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, I guess it's Catherine Austin Phipps. I hope you've enjoyed it. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I hope you enjoyed our program with Catherine. We do actually have the book, The Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and we have a 4-tape set of my interviews with Joseph Perkins, and I think it's certainly well worthwhile hearing. He's coming from the wrong spiritual point of view, but that has nothing to do with the facts he lays out about how the world really works. So if you have any question at all, let me suggest Confessions of an Economic Hitman, either the book or the 4-tape set, or better still, both of them, to really get a grasp of what's going on in the world and who really runs the world in which you live. Of course, we do have a 4-tape set on the secret government. We have a 4-tape set on secret societies. We carry the book, Creature from Jekyll Island, which goes into the whole background of our Federal Reserve System and how they control the money of the world. We carry the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy. by Professor Anthony Sutton, and then, of course, a little book which I personally love called Fiat Money, Inflation in France, written 150 years ago, but it is as apropos today as the day that was written by Andrew Dickinson White. So let me suggest those to you. If you really want to understand what's happening financially, we've got a great new syllabus. It's called The Financial Tsunami. Now, it really goes with a DVD we have, and we hope to have that available very soon, called Financial Tsunami. And you better understand that there is a tsunami coming, a massive tidal wave that's going to sweep across this country and across the world and impoverish the vast majority of people. We have this and an older DVD called The Coming Economic Crisis, and we recommend that. And when we have the new one, of course, we'll probably replace the older one, although it has a lot of interesting history in it that is not in the newer talk. But you need to understand not only what's going on, but what you must begin to do to prepare yourself for the difficult times that lie ahead. And I don't sound try to sound like Cassandra. I don't mind to frighten you, but I want to be quite honest with you. And you don't make plans now why most of the people in this country are going to be wiped off when the tsunami hits. So, again, that is the Financial Tsunami syllabus, the Financial Tsunami DVD. And, of course, you can get a lot of the story in one we have available right now, which is called of the Coming Financial Crisis. And then, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to. If you have not yet seen the DVD or the video by that title, you need to get it. You need, of course, to understand the world revolution that's taking place and who is really behind this. You need, of course, to hear my talk on the world revolution. There is a world revolution. It started in 1776. It is exemplified by the occult emblem on the back of the dollar bill, a pyramid capped by an all-seeing and unfinished pyramid, and beneath that pyramid, 1776, and beneath that, Novus Ordo Seclorum. And then, of course, you really need to get my March newsletter. It gives you the entire text of President Bush's second inaugural speech, where he talks about when our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. When our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. Well, what's the ancient hope? Well, you simply go to your computer and Google in new order of the ages. What is the new order of the ages that we are acting on today, this ancient hope that's meant to be fulfilled? Why, it's the Novus Ordo Seclorum. You will see it listed there on the back of the dollar bill beneath the unfinished pyramid, which exemplifies mankind's effort to create a utopian society without God. The Novus Ordo Seclorum, this new secular order, the new world order, the new world religion, the new world financial system, the destruction of mankind. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927, and our webpage, radioliberty.com. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.